The Wisconsin DNR has adopted a new rule relating to collecting and keeping as pets wild reptiles and amphibians native to Wisconsin. Could have an impact on you and certainly will have an impact on others here in the state. We're going to talk about it today with reptile educator Bill Stewart. Bill is owner of WPS Reptiles, LLC. It's a Kenosha-based reptile education business. Bill's also a board member for Badgerland Reptile Rescue. That's an organization that finds homes for surrendered reptiles and amphibians. And as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. Do your children like to catch frogs or maybe turtles or snakes from a nearby pond or field? Did you know that there are some new regulations relating to that? Give us a call. The number, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Bill Stewart, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us once again. Appreciate it very much.
You bet. I'm glad to be back. Thank you for having me back, Larry.
So what's the new policy here, the new law?
So right now, as it stands in the state of Wisconsin, you are allowed to possess a certain number of each kind of species. So you can have up to 5 bull snakes. You can have up to 5 fox snakes. You can have only 3 snapping turtles. I think sometimes it's 10. It is written a little vaguely, but you are allowed to have these species. If they are albinos or they're different colors or patterns, they don't count in that bag limit. Then there's not a tremendous amount of people that are going out in the wild and capturing these to keep as pets. Another topic is that, you know, going out in the wild and capturing an animal and keeping it as a pet, they usually don't thrive that well in captivity. It's always best to leave them in the wild when you see them. But the policy changes that the DNR is proposing is that you're only allowed to keep a native species for 24 hours. And what they're intending to do is encourage families to, if they find a turtle or they find a frog, that you can keep it, you can show your kids, and then you're re-releasing it back into the wild in enough time frame where it's not going to be hindered by being in captivity or being kept as a pet for too long. And I think that's kind of the principle of which they're operating. So any native species that you have, bull snakes, fox snakes, garter snakes, snapping turtles, you can have them for 24 hours, and then the idea is that you're going to be re-releasing them in the wild within enough time frame where they can adapt back into the wild without any, you know, major issues. But it is, there's a nuance to this rule that is going to maybe adversely affect some people in the state.
Yeah. Well, you've spent years giving presentations about reptile keeping.
I do.
So what do you tell people about this rule, or what will you?
I haven't had too much of an opportunity to speak about it. And I think part of the reason is that there seems to be kind of a divide between the reptile hobbyists and breeders and these proposals within the DNR. But as an educator, I kind of try to stay neutral and in the middle. While I understand the challenges that are going to be faced with reptile breeders and keepers, I understand the intentions of the DNR, and I'm hoping to maybe find some middle ground where the DNR and the reptile hobbyists can work together. But I'm definitely trying to maintain an objective approach to this, but it will, you know, affect the future keeping of these animals. And I think it's a really nuanced topic, Larry, and I'm kind of hearing both sides of the argument and trying to navigate my way through this. I think the only concern that I have, and I think this is not just unique to Wisconsin, but just unique to wherever reptiles are, we have over 20 species of snake in Wisconsin. We have plenty of species of turtle and frog. And while we want to preserve the native reptiles so our children and their children can enjoy them, human population growth and development, you know, industrial growth, taking lands and fields where these animals live and building, you know, subdivisions and housing developments, we're reducing the natural habitat that these animals can live in. And it's hard to conserve a species of animal without also protecting their environment. And so I think that's something that needs to be attended to. I'm not saying the DNR is ignoring that, but when we talk about conserving and protecting species, we can't ignore the environmental strain, you know, and the environmental tie-in that these animals have. I feel like I went a little off tangent there.
No, go ahead.
I think the challenges of coming in, as if you go look at a wild snake, and I think bull snakes are a beautiful native species. They can get really large. They can get 6-7 feet. They're a gorgeous animal, and they are protected in the state of Wisconsin. But the people that are keeping and breeding them are keeping different color variations. They're keeping albinos. They're keeping ones that have white patches on them. They're called white-sided. And I think the challenge is coming in where a lot of the genetic colorations that we have as captive pets that we're breeding look very different than the wild animals, but I think it could be really hard to tell to the common eye. And I think that's where the DNR is coming in to try to regulate some of the breeding of these animals in captivity, because it's really hard to tell the difference between one that's wild and one that maybe is captive bred with a different color or pattern.
Bill Stewart, our guest of WPS Reptiles in Kenosha. It's great to have him with us today. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Bill in Hayward called but couldn't stay with us. He's concerned that rural townships grade their sandy roads during turtle hatching season in the spring. Bill says a lot of newborn turtles, he feels, die as a result. Is the DNR aware of this, and can townships be told to stop?
That is an awesome question, and I appreciate his concern for the native species. That's really remarkable. Bill, you said his name was Bill in Hayward?
Yeah.
Bill and Hayward would need to reach out to his local DNR officers, because the DNR does consider that. And I don't know if they're doing anything specifically in Hayward right now, but I have seen efforts. There are streets in Madison, Wisconsin that have salamander crossing signs, and they're regulating and watching the migration patterns of salamanders in the spring, because it will affect the native population. So if the DNR are unaware of this road, they should be made aware of this road so they can come in and try to do some type of interventions to help these animals kind of survive that early migration.
What?
That was a really cool question.
Yeah. Let's talk about the collection of wild reptiles and amphibians. So are there actually companies or that do this?
To my knowledge, there are not anybody to any big degree that are out wild collecting native species. And running a reptile rescue, we don't get native species surrendered. We rarely do. So I'm not in possession of too many native species right now. I don't think there's a huge problem with people going out and collecting native species. I know from a reptile hobbyist and breeder perspective, it's very frowned upon. There are, again, it's a nuanced topic. It's not all bad or all good.
Yeah.
But we really try to, like, deter people from going out and keeping a snake as a pet. They usually don't transition to captivity really well. They usually don't thrive as well in captivity. And, you know, going to a pet expo or going to a pet shop and buying a reptile pet from there is a way better option, because they're captive bred. They don't have any, exposure to parasites or bacterias. Pathogens that a wild animal would. It's a way better option to just go buy a pet from a pet shop, or even better, from a local breeder. There are ways to get your reptile pet rather than collecting them. But I, in my knowledge and experience, haven't seen the wild collecting of reptiles in Wisconsin to be any sort of an issue.
So this new rule, this 24-hour rule, shouldn't have an impact, or it doesn't have an effect on the buying and selling of wild Wisconsin reptiles.
It will. It will. Because if someone is selling or buying Wisconsin native reptiles, the implication would be that it's been in your possession for longer than 24 hours. I think it's going to be a hard thing for them to enforce. And I think it's going to lead to some, challenging issues for the DNR moving forward. And I'm not a representative of the DNR, only speaking from my perspective. But I'm curious how they're going to enforce knowing that someone's only had it for 24 hours, knowing when they collected a snake. But, you know, if someone wants to keep and breed a native species, most of the time they're purchasing them from out of state. So anyone in Wisconsin who's breeding native bull snakes are buying these bull snakes that are hatched in captivity from other states where it's you're allowed to breed them and you're allowed to keep them as pets. No one is really going out in the wild capturing bull snakes and breeding them in captivity. So it's not a problem per se that requires enforcement.
All right, that makes sense. And Bill, you know, I should have asked you right off the top, even though you've been on the show in the past, but explain, you own WPS Reptiles. Tell us about your business there, your organization.
I formally legitimized the business in 2021, where I travel and I do reptile education. And I do have exotic animals. So the reptiles that I bring, lizards, snakes, tortoises, they're not Wisconsin native species. They're not found in the state. They're usually exotic. And my whole purpose is just to educate and teach people about these animals. There still are a tremendous amount of, you know, misunderstandings about the animals and their behaviors. There still is a lot of myths that circulate reptiles. And some are harmless, like snakes are slimy, where they're not necessarily slimy. And some are harmful, where, you know, people are worried that snakes are actively trying to chase and kill them. Snakes don't want to hurt people. They just see us as threats. And so reptile education is so important because we need to help people recognize and understand that you might be afraid of these animals. You might not like these animals, but they have a very important role in their ecosystems. And it's crucial that they are a part of these ecosystems. And, you know, a dead snake can't support its ecosystem and habitat the way a live snake can.
So
that's my biggest thing. But we're teaching people about their biologies and about their diets, and ideally in certain situations, helping people overcome that fear too. And through experience and safe education and safe interactions, people can ideally begin to overcome that fear of snakes or any reptile.
Don in Madison, I believe, has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Don.
Yeah, good morning. I'm wondering if there's a grandfather clause to the DNR regulation about only holding a reptile for 24 hours. And the reason I bring that up is we have a turtle, a pet turtle, which was bought legally in another state 36 years ago. And if we had to release it, it will absolutely not survive.
No, it won't. what species of turtle is it, Don? Do you know?
Box.
It's a box turtle?
It's a dry land turtle.
A box turtle.
So, yes, there is going to be grandfathering. So anyone who currently owns any native species will have to register those native species with the DNR by 2027, I believe. And the DNR is not going to come and confiscate any animals. They're not going to take your animals away. As long as you're registering them by 2027, you'll be able to keep them. It's going to inhibit the ability for people to breed them and have babies because they will fall outside of you. Now you have more snakes that you've obtained from when you registered, but they're not going to come in and take animals away. There is a little bit of carefulness, Don, with that topic, because in the state of Wisconsin, ornate box turtles are native and highly protected. Even if they came from out of state, ornate box turtles are protected. Eastern box turtles are fine to own as pets. And so, no, you should be okay. You should be grandfathered in with your box turtle.
Yeah, I would think if you had one for 36 years, even if it was an ornate, they're not going to tell you to release that.
No, it would not. No. Unfortunately, under some really, really certain circumstances, the DNR might confiscate the turtle if it's an ornate box turtle, and then they're placed in a nature program. I'm assuming it's an eastern box turtle because ornate box turtles are not.
Yeah.
You're not going to go buy an ornate box turtle from a pet shop. So it's either a three-toed or it's an eastern box turtle, which is fine to keep. They're not native species, and you'll be fine with your box turtle.
Don, there you go. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Bill Stewart, our guest today, owner of WPS Reptiles of Kenosha. It's great to have him with us, and you can join in, 800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today as we talk about the DNR's new rule that's proposed for prohibiting the collection and keeping as pets wild reptiles and amphibians native to Wisconsin for no more than 24 hours with our guest Bill Stewart of WPS Reptiles Kenosha. Josh in Whitewater has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Larry. First, I just wanted to thank Bill for the education work he does. I think that's fantastic to educate about amphibians and reptiles. My expertise is in amphibians and reptiles. I've been on Larry's show in the past, and I just wanted to mention, I think it's incorrect that you can collect 5 wild bull snakes specifically because they're a protected species. And so I just want to make sure that it's clear that you can't collect wild bull snakes in the state and keep those as pets.
All right.
You're saying you can or you cannot?
Cannot.
You cannot.
I think you're right, and I appreciate the correction. I know there's bag limits on certain species, and I thought bull snakes were part of that. You're allowed to possess at least 5 of the bull snakes, but I'll have to go back and double check. I think you might be right, and I appreciate the correction.
Yes.
I was under the assumption that the bull snakes were part of that 5 species. You can have 5 bull snakes, 5 fox snakes.
But
so I will. Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for that call. I'll go back and check my notes when this is done.
Josh, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Mark in Scandinavia, your turn. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I wondered if the DNR is emphasizing that they should re-release the animals that they keep for 24 hours in the same spot, because some animals know their territory very well. They know where their hibernacula are, and they probably wouldn't survive if you just take something from one area and just dump them in another area.
Yeah.
Yeah, the DNR would have to answer that a little bit more detailed, but they are very aware of that. There are, so the ordinances and the proposals that they're working on, is part of it is reducing the bag limit, reducing the amount of species you can keep to only have them for 24 hours. But they are doing some other changes that are going to be very positive. And one is that you are not allowed to mess with a reptile's hibernaculum without prior DNR approval. So if you have a hibernaculum in your backyard, and just for your listeners too, a lot of reptiles will hibernate during the winter, and it's not hibernate like bears. Like, they're still awake, they just slow their metabolisms down. So in the reptile world, we call it brumating, where they're still sort of conscious, they slow their metabolisms down, but they're not asleep like a bear would hibernate. And like garter snakes, for example, will find these underground dens, and there's hundreds of them at the same time. And while it's very fascinating to observe, if you're in your backyard and you have a hibernaculum where you have 150 garter snakes in your backyard, it could be a nuisance. You're not allowed to interfere or mess with or destroy that hibernaculum in any way unless you have permission from the DNR. But with permission from the DNR, you can kind of relocate it. But they are imposing rules where if you are moving a nuisance animal, you have to move them within 1 mile of where you found them. So if you have a nuisance animal in your garage or in your backyard, with permission from the DNR, you can relocate them, but it has to be within a mile. So I would assume, given that language, that keeping an animal for 24 hours and re-releasing, the expectation would be you're releasing it where you found it or within a mile from where you found it. Because reptiles are very tied to their ecosystems, and they could have a hard time finding their way if they're released too far away from where they were found.
Mark, thank you very much for calling. Jim wonders, what are the, you talked about their role in the ecosystem of snakes, for example. What is their role in the ecosystem?
So the simplest answer to that is that snakes are going to eat all of the things that we don't like in our gardens, all the things we don't want in our homes. Rat snakes, bull snakes, fox snakes, they're eating mice and they're eating rats. Snakes don't carry diseases themselves that are going to transfer to humans, but mice and rats do. You know, anyone that has mice or rats in their houses know that they're a nuisance to some degree. And so snakes are going to eat that. Garter snakes in your garden are eating, you know, any bugs, even frogs and toads, they're eating the nuisance animals. And it's just the circle of life. It's just that they're an integral part of that food chain and that web of life where They're, you know, they are food for, you know, higher level animals, higher order animals. They're eating lower order animals, and it's, you know, disrupting that in any way can disrupt the balance of the ecosystem.
There, you
it's
know,
way more than that, but that's my short radio answer.
Well, the I know I've at least I'm been aware of at least a couple of places that actually have events like. It might be turtle racing, or it might be frog jumping here in Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken. Are these events, are the rules relating to these events?
Yeah, the DNR is going to, you're not going to have frog jumping contests and turtle races anymore. And the problem with those is that there are a myriad of pathogens that frogs and turtles have. The biggest one, you know, that you could look up right now is the chytrid fungus with frogs. And the chytrid fungus in other areas of the world have, like, decimated frog populations pretty bad. And it spreads very quickly. And I believe there are some documented – my buddy Josh, who just called here, could answer this question too. There are documented cases of chytrid fungus, I believe, in Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken. And so the idea of outlawing turtle races and frog jumping contests – is those animals are collected from the wild, they're all kept together for a short period of time, and then they're all released in the wild. And what a very rapid way to spread pathogens and spread, you know, funguses. And so outlawing that practice is going to inhibit those pathogens from spreading crazy like they would in those kind of situations.
Yeah. The United States Association of Reptile Keepers has opposed the rule change. They argue, I guess, that it would do more harm than good by incentivizing poaching and illegal activities.
That's a really nuanced conversation. So I am a volunteer with the United States Association of Reptile Keepers also, and they are specifically opposing the five species bag limit for the 24-hour possession. And just generally speaking, we all, how do I summarize this for the audience? People want reptiles as pets. They're becoming very popular pets right now. And if you're looking at collecting a snake from the wild versus buying one having one as a pet versus buying one that's captive bred, it's always better to buy the healthy captive bred option. And so people aren't wild collecting these animals because they can buy these captive bred options. If we restrict the ability to captive breed these snakes and people want these snakes, it could, you know, indirectly be encouraging them to go wild collect a snake. So let's use the bull snake, for example. And this is, I'm definitely summarizing this. This is such a more nuanced topic, but I want a snake. I want a bull snake. I think they're pretty. I think they're wonderful. I can go to a pet shop, I can go to a reptile expo, and I can buy a very healthy, captive-bred, disease-free snake, and I can keep it as a pet. But now I can't because they're not allowed to be bred, but I want my bull snake, so now I'm going to go capture one because I still want my snake and I can't go buy it. That's one of the arguments. You know, in captivity, we're also breeding different color patterns and morphs, and these are animals that really won't survive in the wild because they don't blend in quite to the degree that a wild type snake can. So a bull snake that's missing its patterns or that's white with red eyes like an albino is not going to survive in the wild. The DNR is allowing those animals to still be bred. There's just some nuance to some of these different color patterns that resemble the normal bull snake to where it's hard to tell the difference. And that's kind of where the challenge is coming from. But it's, you know, I mean, anytime you restrict an animal from being captive bred, then, you know, the availability of that animal as a pet goes down, then prices can go up. And then if a bull snake that costs $100 now costs $500 or $600, you might incentivize someone to go out in the wild and capture bull snakes because now I can sell them under in the black market for $600. So there's a lot of nuance to this conversation, and it's not so cut and dry.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. You're involved in Badgerland Reptile Rescue. In our last 45 seconds, people want to surrender a native amphibian or reptile. You help
So we will. We do work very closely with the DNR, and we have a very excellent relationship with the DNR. And so if anyone has a native species and they're concerned or they are looking to surrender it, they can email us at info@badgerlandrescue.com, info@badgerlandrescue.com, and they can speak to my wife, Sarah, and I about the nuances of what's going on. And we could either take the snake or we can direct them to local resources in their area and support them.
Bill, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It flew by, and I really appreciate it. We'll look forward to another visit.
Yeah, thank you so much, Larry. Thank you guys for listening.
Bill Stewart, owner of WPS Reptiles, LLC. It's a Kenosha-based reptile education business, and a board member he is for the Badgerland Reptile Rescue that finds homes for surrendered reptiles and amphibians. Great to have him with us. And an interesting 2 hours today. And I want to thank you for listening in. Appreciate that as well. And a big thanks to our team, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins, all part of the staff. Our executive producer is Jill Nadol. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.